go, let's go, let's go.
This is the Training Camp Review Podcast from Patriots.com.
Tempo in and out of the huddle.
The Training Camp Review Podcast is your daily source for all the news from Patriots Training Camp. Couldn't make it to the Patriots practice? Don't worry. The writers of Patriots Football Weekly have you covered. Well, maybe not Fred.
It's supposed to be hot. Supposed to be tough. It's the NFL. It's training camp.
Now, here to review today's practice, the writers of PFW.
And on day five here in Foxborough, things starting to get a little testy out on the field. Tempers are starting to flare. It was a beautiful day, too. I don't know why everybody had to get so upset at the end of practice, but we'll talk about that.
It was hot. It was training camp.
It certainly was. Eric Scalavino, Andy Hart, Paul Perillo. To recap day five here at Patriots Training Camp 2013. Story of the day, guys, I think I would say my impressions were the injury list got a little bit longer and...
Significant.
Significant player or two added to that list. And hurry-up offense seemed to be sort of the focus for the O today. As far as injuries go, I know last night at the in-stadium practice, there were a couple of guys who sort of looked like they came up a little lame, and then today, those same guys weren't out on the field. Aaron Dobson, Elvis Fisher, the rookie offensive lineman, last night Brandon Bolden also wasn't at practice. So we've got nine guys today who were, we saw some of them, they were out on the field, but doing rehab stuff and off to the side, but nine guys didn't take part in practice. The most significant one, obviously, Dobson, who'd had a nice little run there, and in his place, Kenbrell Tompkins, I think, stepped in and acquitted himself rather well.
Yeah, Dobson made a strange, almost look-at-me lap on the field in the middle of practice, walking out, and was only out there maybe 5 or 10 minutes, walking very gingerly. And my speculation is from afar, something in the hip, butt, lower back area, just based on the way he was walking. And he watched like one drill and then he gingerly walked back off the field. And Paul, you mentioned, he had one play last night on a deep ball that ran him off the field, over the sideline, and then onto the hard surface on the outer ring of the Gillette Stadium turf, and he fell down, and that is a hard surface. Some of it's padded. The area he fell is not padded, and he jogged back onto the field last night, but maybe there were some lasting ramifications from that little slip and fall.
And, you know, you and I...
You should call a lawyer.
with Fred. Did you get injured on your property or somebody else's?
Just kidding, Mr. Kraft.
You and I were with Freddie, and he did definitely, when he got up, he had the ball in his hand. He was walking sort of, as you guys said, gingerly back to the huddle.
And
so
I can't get up.
I'd be very surprised if that didn't at least have something to do with it. You guys are talking about the possibility of a lower back. Well, you think about when you slip and you have your legs go out from under you, you're not braced for a fall, and you sort of
weird
turn or twist
or
a different way. I could see that. The fact that he was out there in shorts, though, even though he looked like he was struggling a little bit, as you said, to walk around, good sign that we saw him. At least he wasn't in a situation where they didn't want him on his feet out at practice.
Exactly. And that's been the case with a lot of these guys, like Julian Edelman, Mark Harrison, guys who they haven't practiced, but we've seen them every day. They're taking steps towards.
They were running pretty good today on the Revs practice field while practice was going on. Edelman with his shirt off to show everybody.
And like Tim Tebow.
Mark Harrison moving pretty good over there. And Harrison, by the way, I think this is maybe my first real up-close look
Dude
at him.
Big guy, huh? Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe in the Adrian Wilson realm for skill position player with large arms.
Yeah.
That was an interesting take. And he's a guy that, you know, I'd love to see get out there because I've talked about maybe that sort of Hernandez slot, big body role, but if he can't get on the field, he can't do that.
Now, there's some news that broke last night while you guys were doing the practice in stadium about Armin Armstead.
Yes.
And his being on the non-football illness list. The team made the uncharacteristic move of releasing a statement about his condition, saying that he had an infection that required surgery, is feeling good now, but there's no timetable for his return to the field. They left it at that, but the fact that they even felt the need to inform the media about that, I thought was rather curious.
Yes.
and we still have not seen him. We still have not seen him at all.
No.
On the field.
He's
or
the
off
only
the
one
field,
that
but
we haven't seen of the group that's out of uniform.
Yep. Mm-hmm. We saw Corey Grissom last night.
We've seen everybody else at some period. We have not seen Armstead yet, and now we know why.
All right.
We don't know much more.
No.
No. But
we just know why we haven't seen him.
And, you know, you don't want to speculate. I mean, at least you know now it's theoretically, as Bill said, not related to the heart attack he suffered at USC. But beyond that, I mean, you could go in a million directions. We've seen NFL infections in locker rooms, like in Cleveland, where,
yeah,
you know, there
an
were
epidemic almost.
We saw an infection with Rob Gronkowski that required multiple extra surgeries. And by the way, Gronkowski was on the field today with a pretty hefty scar on his arm, quite visible, according to some of the video camera reporters that were shooting him while he was
and
out there.
And Brady following his ACL.
So you just don't know where to go. Minor, major, I'll tell you what it isn't. It's not good. Because for a guy, some of us had hopes as a rotational, athletic, potential, maybe impact athlete on the defensive line. Sort of, I was sold on him by not only his own talking, but Pete Carroll and what they envisioned him moving forward. I mean, he said they recruited him as essentially a first-round defensive end prospect for the NFL. So, you know, I had hopes, but, you know, you fall behind. Now you're, you know, 4 or 5.
Right. Multiplied by 2, right? The number of days times the number of days you need to get back into it.
You know, he's falling behind, and at some point you just can't catch up. And what could have been a first year in the NFL won't be what it could have been.
Right. You know, I was just thinking during practice today, boy, you know, it's 5 days in, and things seem to be very calm and sedate. Nobody really seems to be getting their, you know, their dander up. And then no sooner do I think that, and there's a scuffle at the end of practice between Stephen Ridley and Kyle Arrington, which didn't really last very long. It wasn't one of the nastiest.
It wasn't like last year.
No, it wasn't like last year where there were, like, full-on, you know, sideline clearing.
And it ended up being the very last play of practice.
Yes.
Yeah, last play of practice. Bill called everyone together.
Whether by coincidence or design.
However, as the players were leaving the field and some of them coming over to do interviews, Ridley being one of them, he and Aqib Talib seemed to be having a little bit of an extension of their on-field conversation, which didn't seem to be too friendly. At least, Talib looked like he was trying to laugh things off, and Ridley didn't. And obviously the questions that Ridley got about that afterwards, he was very curt with his answers, saying, it's camp. That's the way it is. It's camp. I'm not going to say anything more about that.
And a guy that's been on edge after having 2 fumbles.
Exactly.
And probably not having all that much fun when those things start to happen.
Exactly.
But, you know, I actually said it to Paul. The play in question happened. Ridley was running. Arrington popped him, got a good pop on him, knocked him down. Ridley came up, kind of threw the ball at Arrington. Arrington brushed it off, kind of, But I said, you never know. A player says, wow, I'm surprised you didn't fumble or something when I hit you. And all of a sudden it becomes sort
something.
Of personal and
right.
irritation. And really it's nothing. But at this time of year in that environment, you know, you read about it. I told Paul earlier this week, I read about they had a good one in Tennessee. And Munchak just, joked it off and said, because it was between DBs and receivers, it was a bunch of little guys trying to look tough in the middle of the camp. It happens. It's not that big a deal.
And Arrington even said afterwards that, it's on the field. We leave it on the field. There's all love among the teammates. And it does get hot. It is competitive. Somebody says one or two things at the end of the day. It's been several days now that they've been practicing. They need a day off, and thankfully they're going to get one tomorrow.
Correct.
So
to me, the ironic part is I thought it was one of the less intense practices that we've seen.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
And all of a sudden it ends with a flourish.
Exactly. And again, it wasn't a huge thing.
No,
it was
no,
a dust
very
up that
minor.
Lasted a few seconds and it was over. But as far as the on-field performance today, again, like I said, there was a lot of hurry-up offense going on. A lot of when they did the 11-on-11, there was 2-minute. There was down and distance situations. What did you make of how the offense performed today?
Yeah.
I didn't think it was good again. I thought the defensive backs, both in the red area drills that were 7-on-7s, the team periods, the defensive backs to me still seem to be getting the upper hand more often than not. Now, there was one play that Matthew Slater absolutely undressed Aqib Talib, and let everybody know about it before the pass even maybe even left the quarterback's hands. Slater got wide open, beat him with sort of
perfect
an inside
corner route.
What do they call that? A post corner, Andy?
Mm-hmm.
And he was wide open, easy touchdown, and Tlaib was not happy. But other than that, for the most part, Tlaib continues to dominate.
Yeah, he's looked very good. I thought there were flashes offensively today. You know, that'd be a play. Zach Sudfeld had a great diving catch.
Terrific.
Third and one from the goal line on a play that I think was sort of off the script. Belichick yelled, Josh, third and one from the one, kind of. Mm-hmm. And he said, this is live. This was a full-out play. I don't think he was happy with how the drill had unfolded prior to that. And Sudfeld with his biggest play of summer so far. You know, I thought he'd been a little bit quiet.
Big surprise. Off the script, third and one, Josh was throwing the ball.
Right. Kenbrell Tompkins had a great catch.
It was a play action
catch.
Fix, to his credit.
Kenbrell Tompkins had a great catch over Logan Ryan and Devin McCourty on a deep ball where he sort of came back leaning over the DB to make the catch. Individual flashes, I thought, offensively, but still. And there was a couple times Brady and Amendola weren't on the same page.
Yep.
One, Amendola broke in and Brady threw out, I believe, or the opposite.
The opposite.
Then there was another
very
one that I'm not sure even got a hand on, and it bounced off the DB behind him
then it hit Gregory in the face.
By the way,
yeah, it was almost like he was mad at the previous play.
Yes,
and that happens to Tom sometimes.
Yes, and he admits to that. He doesn't hide from that. So yeah, there were just sort of little hiccups offensively. It doesn't look quite right, smooth. Mm-hmm. Even the at one point they had dual. Hurry up, 2 minute type drills, and they were moving the ball forward even without achieving the actual yards.
Yeah.
That kind of reminded me of the spring when they were actually doing.
You know, Brady and I think Blunt had a handoff that they went the wrong way. I assume Blunt went the wrong way because I'm going to give Tom the benefit of the doubt, as I often do.
I also saw
In the regular
Ivan
season.
Fears chewing him out on the sideline, so I would imagine that it was the running backs.
One personnel note that Andy brought up too: Tyrone Green was sort of the guy playing the Marcus Cannon role today at right guard in place of Dan Conley when it got to contact stuff. Cannon was playing tackle today exclusively with a second group. So he was at right tackle. We've seen Cannon almost exclusively at guard until today. Just another thing to keep in mind.
And I can't emphasize enough, because I continue to read how Cannon has sort of taken Conley's job or is well ahead of Conley. Well, Conley is not participating in any physical aspects of practice.
Basically.
And yet when they do the pursuit drills, the conditioning early in practice, he is the right guard with that group when there's no contact involved, when they're just lining up, running, whatever.
It's his job.
It would appear that way. At the very least, he's going to get the chance to lose it at some point when he does become healthy.
Right. Special teams-wise, kickoff return team, again, was the focus. Leon Washington looks...
I'm all in.
Yeah, he looks
all in.
Fast
I'm also
I've ever
all
seen
in,
it.
I continue to say. I think he's going to make plays out of the backfield. I don't think he's only going to have what he did in Seattle last year with, 25 touches and no catches. I think he's going to make some plays on offense for this team this year.
Yeah. So overall, I think you guys put it best. Lackluster kind of compared to the other days we've had so far, but kind of to be expected after now five straight practices. It might be the time where they do need that natural break, and they're going to get it.
One quick note. We've talked a lot about Brian Daboll working with the offensive line and primarily the tackles. Now he appears to be working primarily with
Tim Tebow.
And I feel for Brian Daboll, because if he is being charged with fixing Tim Tebow, he's got a lot of work ahead of him. But he seems to follow him. When Tebow goes to like opportunity, second field type stuff, Daboll goes with him. And there was one play where they were in the red zone goal line area and Tebow threw a pass and Daboll was shaking his head saying, Timmy.
Timmy.
And just, there's a lot of corrections that need to go on there. So it looks like Daboll might be getting some work with number five.
It has been a struggle. And last night, I think you noted on the blog that Tebow took some scout team reps as the personal protector on the punt team.
Yep.
But
and he continues to do the ball security drills, which SportsCenter ESPN doesn't mean he's taking any receptions. He's not playing H-back and receiver. He's not doing any of that. He has only been a quarterback when he's done anything for the New England Patriots in camp.
SportsCenter ESPN, check.
Check. So 5 days in, guys, and on day six, we rest.
And then they rest.
The Patriots are going to have no practice on Wednesday. They'll be back on the field two-ish on Thursday for their next practice, open to the public, so come to Foxborough if you can.
I believe it's 220.
220.
It's in that neighborhood. So if you are in the neighborhood, come to practice. If not, tune in right here to our podcast. We'll be there to break it all down for you. So enjoy your day off. We're going to enjoy ours, and we'll see you on Thursday.
And if you're in the room and haven't spoken yet, say goodbye to everybody in the microphone.
Goodbye.
We'll be right back.
thank you for downloading this podcast from Patriots.com. Log on anytime for more news and more podcasts from your favorite team and Patriots.com.